Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native. Right now, you can get 20% off your first purchase. Just visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. Nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST and get yourself 20% off. Hey, what you doing Saturday, August 24th? Going to be anywhere near Lexington, Kentucky? If so, I hope you can join me along with the crew at the podcast Hillbilly Horror Stories, Jerry and Tracy, for their birthday show. We're going to do a live podcast at Columbia Steakhouse in Lexington, Kentucky, starting at 7 o'clock that night. It'll be an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live along with Hillbilly Horror Stories as we celebrate the birth of their podcast. Yeah, we're going to be celebrating. They've been around now for quite a while, so congratulations to them. Tickets are only $15, and they are very limited. If you want in on this, get them before they sell out. Lexington, Kentucky, Saturday, August 24th, Columbia Steakhouse. If you want those tickets, go to Real Ghost Stories Online. Click on Tour Dates, and you'll find the link there to get your tickets for August 24th. Lexington, Kentucky, Hillbilly Horror Stories, along with Real Ghost Stories Online, Columbia Steakhouse, Lexington, Kentucky. We will see you there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, unexplained events occur to a listener as they hear the mysterious story of Richard in Chattanooga. A new chapter. It's like the Amityville Horror where you get like the spinoffs kind of, you know. I'm excited, so anyway. What's causing the unexplained activity in the abandoned house down the road? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your ghost story, or you can write it at realghoststoriesonline.com. And yeah, if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. At ghostpodcast.com or at patreon.com/realghoststories. Either place has all the same stuff for you. Advanced episodes of the show and EPP bonus episodes posted every single week. Those are our best stories. All there for you. The archive of more than 260 some by the time this airs. All there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Less than the cost of a cup of gasoline, a cup of refreshing gasoline. Everybody has a cup of coffee, so mm-hmm. I thought, what's a different...
Yeah.
Less than the cost of a delicious icy.
Not quite.
Yeah. Well, it depends where you get your icy. That's true. I guess if you bought it like Disney, you're probably, you know, up there.
But yeah.
Remember slush puppies? Mm-hmm. The like the gas station? They still have them, but it's usually like only blue or red. Do you remember slush puppies back in the day where you just got the slush and then there you pumped your flavor and there was like 7 different flavors you could choose from. You could make a rainbow one if you wanted to, and you could really over syrup it too.
I don't remember that.
I used to make green ones and it was delicious. Bursting with lemon lime artificial flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's
No, I don't remember doing that. I used to get the Coke flavored ices. Those were my favorite.
Yeah, I remember those. I my favorite was the you create your own. Mm-hmm. I think there was a gas station that we went into in the South somewhere. And it was kind of defunct. It was not in the greatest of areas. And I remember just going to the cooler. It was like we were getting gas. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it might have been, like Southern Georgia or something. Mm-hmm. Or Northern Florida. I don't know. But I remember being in there. And this is somewhat in the last couple of years. And I saw the machine. They had the setup, the one I'm talking about that had all the the things in it. There was no ice in the thing, but the syrups were there.
Mm.
But they looked a little crystallized. So they might have been somewhat antique. They might have been vintage from like 88.
That's gross.
You could just kind of get a little bit of
delicious, you know, vintage slush puppy, if you will. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm going to be live with Hillbilly Horror Stories August 24th at Columbia Steakhouse in Lexington, Kentucky. I've never been to Lexington, Kentucky. This is my first time there. Tickets are $15 if you want to get them. There's still a handful of them left. It's Hillbilly Horror Stories, their podcast. It's their birthday show. Only 80 seats available. I know, like, I don't know, probably like half of them are gone or so. I don't know. By the time this airs, probably more. Get those before they are gone, because that's coming up pretty soon here, August 24th. The link to get those tickets, go to Real Ghost Stories Online and click on tour dates, and you can get them there. It'll be a fun evening. It'll be me.
Yeah.
And you'll be here.
I'll be taking care of little ones.
Having s'mores.
No.
And singing probably campfire songs around the campfire or something.
Sure.
Daddy's not here. Let's sing a song.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
That sort of a thing. So anyway, Hillbilly Horror Stories will be there. Jerry and Tracy, obviously, it's their birthday show. It'd be kind of weird if I was just there celebrating the birthday of a different podcast without that podcast.
Yeah.
A little bit strange. We should have like a birthday party for like Robert Stack or something, without, because he's dead. Uh-huh. But just have a birthday party for Robert Stack. Just show episodes of Unsolved Mysteries over and over. Back to the ghost stories in just a minute. First, we want to thank our supporter today, Native Deodorant. This is great stuff, guys. Native, what they do there, they're all about creating safe, simple, effective products that people can use in the bathroom every single day. They create products with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. If you're not convinced, check out their 8,000 five-star reviews from their customers. That should tell you something right there. Why do I love Native? Because it's formulated without aluminum, parabens, and talc, stuff you probably don't want in your deodorant or to be rubbing all over your body. It's filled with ingredients that's found in nature, like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. No animal testing used on this stuff. Free shipping and returns. It's good. It's just good stuff. It's a product you can feel good about using. Don't hold back. Native can hang with your workout, busy mom lifestyle, 16-hour day, whatever it may be. Test it out for yourself and see what it is all about. People absolutely love them. Like I said, over 8,000 five-star reviews. They've been on the Today Show, Women's Health, Elle, Good Morning America, Pop Sugar, Nylon, and many, many others. It's just a good product that works, and you can feel safe and you can feel good about it. They also offer a no risk trial, so you can try it for free with free returns and exchanges in the US. So there you go. If you're kind of like, there you go. If you don't like it, there you go. Another thing I really love about it is the subscribe and save option, because this is something, how many times are you sitting there going, I got to go pick up some deodorant, and it's like on your way to work. You're like, oh, shoot, I forgot. And you realize it's noon and you're sweating through your clothes. You can subscribe and they send it to you on a regular basis. You don't have to worry about it. And you save 17% as well. So it's $2 per stick you save on it, and have Native conveniently deliver it to your door every 1, 2, 3, 4 months, whatever, you know, however much you use. They will set up the schedule for you and get it to you when you need it. It's like I said, it's just a quality product. I really do love it. And you guys can get 20% off your first purchase. Visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. 20% off your first purchase. Go to nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST. Let's go to our first story of the day. It comes in. It says, I was listening recently and heard you talking about Richard from Chattanooga. The story. Went back to listen to it for myself this morning. And a weird thing happened. I was listening to the story on my phone while I was in the kitchen preparing to leave for work for the morning and heard a crashing noise in my house during one of Richard's taped calls. I felt silly, but it gave me the chills and went to look around to see what it could be. The shower curtain had fallen out from the wall, which was odd. Just be faulty, but it seemed odd that it would fall suddenly at that time during his call. It was at the part where you could hear the wind noise on his tape, and I kept playing it back and putting my ear towards the speaker to see if I was actually hearing it on there. That's when the curtain fell, and since I was so focused on the sound in his tape, it startled me. I thought that was just a little fun coincidence, but that's not why. I'm writing in, though. I went to write in a few times a year, so rather I wrote in a few times a year ago or so, but always felt so silly doing so and would end up deleting the message before sending it. I'm a skeptic by nature, and I suppose and feel that the mind can play tricks on you based on your emotions, your fears. It's ironic because there's a superstitious part of me where I feel as though I have been haunted by my whole life, haunted my whole life, or at least sensitive to spirits. And after having a lifetime of stories, I don't know how to pull out of the important ones because they all seem to help explain one another. I'll start first by saying that I'm a casual listener to Real Ghost Stories Online. Get a kick out of it. We'll listen to a bunch for a week and then take breaks. I love what you guys do, and it's really great fun. I first started listening to you guys around Halloween time when I was looking to add a little spookiness to my commute. I was enjoying them until I heard one story about shadow people and heard you guys speak about them briefly before going to the next story, and I was suddenly hit with a chill. My whole life since I can remember, I saw these shadow people and never knew that other people have had the same experience. I'm a bit different from what I heard from other people's experiences because I can get up and interact with them. Hearing you talk about them made me want to write into you to find out more about them and to try and find out about how to shut off these experiences I have. There's a lot of background information and stories I could tell, but I'll just narrow the focus of my story to the shadow people. Since I can remember, I'd see these shadow people. Most of the time was at night when I would suddenly wake up, but a few times I would catch glimpses during the day. The only way I can describe it is like wearing sunglasses and flipping them on and off. One second you see something, and then the next it's like you snap to a different view, but I mainly see them at night when I'm sleeping. When I was a kid, I'd sleep with my bedroom door open, and my bed was positioned in a manner that would look straight out in the hallway. As a kid, I'd wake up in the middle of the night with a terrible feeling of someone else being present and would peer out into the hallway and see a shadowy figure standing there. When I'd see him, I would start screaming and suddenly it was gone. My parents would come running in to see what was wrong, and every night the figure would get closer and closer until he was finally in my room and then the next night standing above me. Every night the same thing. Wake up, scream, parents would come in. They tried to make sense of it, say I was dreaming, and when I was older I theorized that it might be my feelings of insecurity or depression that my mind was visualizing, but now I'm not sure due to some events that would happen later. The older I got, the more I became normalized to seeing these figures, and where I used to wake up screaming as a teen, I'd just jump up quick, kick my legs if I saw the figure on top of me, and then try to go back to bed. I think it's important to note that what I dreamt of and experienced in this state is much different from one another. I have a lot of reoccurring dreams, so when I recognize them, it allows me to have lucid dreams. In some instances, premonitions, and what my friends tell me, is astral projection, but those are separate stories, and I don't know if I believe in that anyway. With the shadow people, by the end of my teens, I could feel different emotions from them, or some were curious, some malicious, etc., which made me think that I would see different shadows nightly. It got to the point where it didn't faze me, and where I would be paralyzed with fear as a kid, I now would just sit up and talk to them and tell them to go away or ask what they wanted. I started expressing more of my annoyance and sometimes anger towards them as if to say, hey, I'm trying to sleep here. My attitude with them was, for lack of a better word, whatever, until a few more relatively recent events, and this is where it starts getting a little unbelievable. I was probably 21 at the time, and my niece was staying over at our house. She was sleeping in the spare bedroom next to mine. She was probably 1 or 2 and was a pretty good baby. Never really cried or fussed and was always laughing, so she was pretty easy to take care of. I had gone to bed for the night in my room when all of a sudden I jolted awake. Suddenly, I had a terrible feeling that something was wrong, just the crushing feeling of dread, and I felt that I had to go run in and check on my niece. I quickly hopped out of bed, and as soon as my feet hit the floor, I couldn't move, as if I was paralyzed. I looked around my room, and nothing looked unfamiliar. It was dawn, and the sun was just starting to illuminate the room, but this feeling of anguish almost made the room unrecognizable, as if I knew something was off. Suddenly, I was thrown against the wall and pinned to it, and I couldn't move. I wanted to scream, but couldn't open my mouth, and I heard screaming, only it wasn't my own. Suddenly, I woke up in bed, lying down. I must have been dreaming, but I heard my niece screaming in the next room. I quickly ran in and grabbed her, and she looked terrified. I held her all morning until I left for work, which she was still crying when I left. It was such a weird feeling. I tried rationalizing it. Maybe I'd heard my niece crying and I was trying to wake myself up, but I was in a deep sleep and couldn't wake myself and dreamed of the events. At work later in the afternoon, I was with my intern alone in the warehouse making a headphone from an electronics company. And at the time, I was making a batch of custom headphones and showing the intern how to solder. He's a horror movie buff, so we always end up talking a little bit about horror in some capacity. And I brought up that weird dream that I had that morning. He thought it was spooky, but I didn't really go into detail. And he then went inside to the office to use the restroom. Once he was gone, the power to the warehouse suddenly went out, leaving me alone in the dark. I started feeling my way towards the office to try and find everyone else, and once I got to the door, the power went back on. A weird coincidence that after I told the story, the power would kick off like that. Made me think of my dream from the morning, and as if it was being told not to speak of it by something. While I'm generally a non-believer, I started thinking that if there is something more to the shadow people thing, I don't want it affecting my family, and it made me angry thinking about it. Maybe a few months later, I was staying overnight at my then-girlfriend's house, who would later become my wife since we were going to go on a road trip early in the morning. She's not like anything supernatural at all. She doesn't want to hear about any of it. She doesn't want to watch any movies, nothing to do with ghosts or demons. And since they were banned, I never talked to her about my experiences. That night, when we were sleeping in her room, I suddenly had the feeling that I was being watched. I shot up in bed and saw what looked like a little girl standing by her dresser looking at me. I asked her, "What are you doing?" She didn't say anything back, just looked at me, but it felt like she was communicating almost telepathically. She seemed curious. Suddenly, I heard my girlfriend, and just like that, the girl was gone, and I snapped out of it. She kept saying, "Who are you talking to? And what are you doing?" I told her I must have been dreaming and to go back to bed. Months later, I found out that when her parents bought the house, it had been rented out to a bunch of different tenants, and her particular room was painted all black and had black carpet. There were hooks in the ceiling, which a few are still there from things that must have been hung in the room. Pretty odd. Also, when her brother was younger, their parents would find her little brother standing in the middle of his room in the middle of the night talking to himself, and they had to guide him back to bed. It was very weird. Fast forward a couple of months, I was asleep in my room alone and felt a presence and looked over and saw a shadow person in the room. I felt a connection with it and felt as though it was a female, however malicious. It made me angry, and I jumped up from my bed to confront it. As I moved over to it, the shadow started retreating, and I could almost make out a face like it was mocking me. And as I got closer, almost face to face, it suddenly looked like it had a look of panic and retreated through my closet door. I started punching the door and tore it open, breaking it, saw nothing, and then just like that, I snapped out of it. I realized that I had physically acted out everything. I was, for lack of a better word, dreaming. And I woke up by now with a broken closet door. From then on, when I would wake up from a shadow person experience, I'd grab my phone or whatever was in reach and throw it at them, which started getting expensive since things would break. Jumping ahead again, my now fiance was staying with me in my parents' house. On a few occasions, I'd wake up suddenly and see a shadow person standing over her while she was sleeping, and I would lunge across the bed at them, waking her up and scaring her. It happened frequently enough where she started getting scared of me, and I felt like I had to get this under control or else it would affect my relationship with my soon-to-be wife and my family. That's around the time when I started listening to your podcast and first heard about shadow people. I started to do some research about it and tried to write in a couple times, but just figured I was being crazy. Would always delete it. I decided that I'm probably just schizophrenic or mentally ill or have some sleep disorder and just compartmentalized it and dealt with it quietly. It seemed to get better, coming to terms with it. One night, though, when my fiancé and I were sleeping in bed, my wife woke me up, shaking me and very frantically, very hysterical. Startled, I sat up and asked what was wrong and looking around the room to see what was going on. She said someone was standing over me, a shadow watching me sleep. It was chilling to hear her say that. I never told her about my shadow experiences, just that I had a hard time sleeping at night. The next night, I remember going to bed thinking I was going to reach out and connect with them. I don't remember anything from that night, just that my wife would wake me up frantically throughout the night, saying that I was talking in my sleep and thrashing around. This went on multiple times at night, her waking me up, saying I was acting crazy in my sleep, until finally the last time she begged me to stop. Oddly, I don't have any memory of what was going on that night, just being shook awake by my fiancé multiple times. Since then, I haven't had any experiences. We moved into our first house this year and haven't had any issues. We tore out a whole house. We tore out the whole house, and my wife said that she would hear voices of people talking as we were going through the remodel. But since having the house finished, she hasn't said there was anything strange. And I, too, have been at peace. I still don't know if I believe it was supernatural or if it was just my imagination. My brain does funny things, I guess. I was curious to see what you know about shadow people, and if you have any experiences, and if you think it's a good idea to give yourself over to the shadow people or willingly contact them. As a side note, my parents would take my sisters and me to haunted places for ghost tours like Gettysburg and cemeteries, and have us draw graves and such, and always wondered if there is such a thing as ghosts that might have latched on to me from that. My parents aren't practicing occultists or anything like that. They just really love U.S. history and would take us on those tours for fun. I also seem to have cheated death, which has caused my friends, with my friends, in a car accident, and has made my friends not want to travel with me. I also had a stalker that some friends thought was supernatural, but separate stories for a different time, I suppose. All of this, I'm sure, sounds very unbelievable, but it's true, whether it's just dreams or not. Sorry, it's so long and jumps around. Hard to summarize a lifetime of events and narrow the focus to just shadow people.
I think it's very possible that he's haunted. And this started in his teens. I don't know how old he was when the car accident happened, but teenage years can just in itself bring on things. It sounds like since shadow people have been kind of a thing that follows him, I'm wondering if it's the same one that's been plaguing him his whole life.
And just never letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because it seems to not be super identifiable.
Right.
Other than it's a shadow mm-hmm. type person. And when you have something like that that's not identifiable, other than it's you know, paranormal or, you know, kind of bizarre and hard to hone in on, it's hard to say, you know, what it if it's the same thing or not.
Yeah.
But it could very easily be, I would believe. What do you think about the Richard in Chattanooga part of that story?
With that, I think it's not so much the thing that we heard in the call. I think it's more so that was just kind of a signal to whatever is already there with him. Hey, let's act up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to talk right now. It sounds like I'm the kid from Stranger Things.
Oh, you're fine. I'm just adjusting your volume level.
No, it's hard for me to talk with my aligners in. Yeah. So,
she really wanted to look like the kid from Stranger Things.
No.
So she actually changed her hair and everything.
I'm going through the process of fixing my TMJ, and the best way to do it is to get my teeth fixed, so yay for that, so I get to sound like this forever. No, I think it's more so that was just kind of a, oh, I hear you're kind of into paranormal things, so here's something paranormal for
Boom.
You.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, so your thought is it's not necessarily something that has, it's not like connected to Richard's story, meaning it's not like it's something from his world that is transferred over there. It's more so something that recognized you're listening to something paranormal and I'm aware you're doing that. So boom,
I'm going to scare you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's more what it is.
It's like the living, when someone is watching a horror movie,
mm-hmm.
the horror movie, the pieces of the horror movie are not coming in and invading your house. Your friend is standing behind you and is going to scare you.
Exactly.
That sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's been so many stories about people connected with that, that weird sound
mm-hmm.
in that episode. And they still come in to this day. I should note that, yearly EPPs, I put together a special episode about a month or two ago, that go out with our yearly EPP subscription gift. In the years past, we've done the bunk bed bells and some other stuff. This year, I put together a USB drive, or you can download it if you don't want it to come in the mail, but it's an 8-gig drive with our logo on it, and you can reuse it, whatever. But it has about 10 hours worth of material on it, and one of them is a new Richard in Chattanooga special. And in it, we hear that sound, we play that call back, but there was a handful of other calls that I didn't even know we had from Richard until I started digging to put this episode together. And I found calls that he had made to us on the same day as some of the others, but his line kept getting disconnected. And when I put the show together at the time, I would just grab the most recent call and air that, assuming that, well, it's probably the same stuff that he talked about on the previous two calls. But just out of curiosity, I listened to the other ones when putting that show together, discovered, oh my God, there's a ton of information here that was not covered in the other calls. So it's very interesting. If you've been fascinated with that story, definitely worth listening to. And you get that when you become a yearly EPP through ghostpodcast.com. It's $55 a year to become the EPP. And then it's not a monthly subscription thing. It's just boom, it's yearly. And you're into that, that subscription plan. But you get that along with a whole bunch of other stuff. There's a bonus EPP there for yearlies, exclusive, a whole bunch of other interviews, some of my favorite ones. But it's interesting. Definitely very, very interesting to hear this whole other side of that story. I've been trying to reach out to him. And I know I've said this on the show before because I just want an update. I want to hear, did things get better? Are you doing better? And he reached out to me on Facebook back in the day, back when all of this was going on. And I, through digging and digging and digging and digging, found that message finally. And I tried to reach back out to him, and I've heard absolutely nothing. So He may just not be on Facebook anymore. A lot of people are not.
Yeah.
But if you're out there, I'd love to hear from you. even if you don't want to go on the air, Richard, I understand that. But just a note, I that's all I would like at the least. Just saying, hey, we're okay, or what's up. That's all. Or stay silent. That's up to you. I understand it with the shit that he was going through, saying, just not even wanted to revisit it.
Maybe it's gotten better, and he's just wanted to move on.
Not worth it. Just washing hands. And I understand that too, but I'm curious. So anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. It says, when I was younger, I always tried to avoid ghosts as much as possible because I used to watch Scooby-Doo, and it, conditioned me to be afraid of them. Green Pond is a tiny town surrounded by other small towns with a 5-mile radius of where I live. I've heard of 3 haunted houses, which are now torn down. What I know about them are secondhand, since I tried to avoid ghosts. The first was a house down the road that nobody has ever lived in since I've been there. According to the story, a man was shot in that house, and blood stains reappeared on the floor no matter what you did. The second was a greenhouse 2 or 3 miles away in Woodstock that nobody would live in too long. A lady who used to live there was pregnant and depressed and took her own life. She is the one that haunted it, supposedly. The third house was a pink house 5 miles away in Gray Hill that was occupied, I think, when I first heard that it was haunted, but was vacant not long after and sat and deteriorated over 12 to 15 years before it was finally torn down. It's also a subdivision that has some of the houses built on top of Indian burial grounds, and a few of those houses were haunted, including the one my second wife lived in. Now, you can do everything possible to avoid a ghost, but sometimes life will catch you off guard. After my first wife died, I got brave and would visit her grave when I had time. 9 at night in a country cemetery where the closest house was 1/4 mile away with only street lights. I stood my ground in the name of Jesus and told who was there that I had a right to be there and I would not run off. Nothing ever bothered me except for one time when I thought I heard a ghost rattling chains, but I went to where the noise was and it was the rope on a flagpole hitting the side of the pole. Then one night I was lying in bed and woke up to someone yanking on my arm like they were trying to pull me off of the bed. I snatched my arm and said loudly, "Well, just pull me off the bed then." And it let go, and I had no other problems until I married my second wife. My wife lived in a haunted house, and I think she brought some of the ghosts with her, mainly a spirit that took the form of me and would try to seduce her. It also took her form and passed by the bedroom door once. It only tried to seduce her once, and God rebuked it through my wife's voice. It was God versus a spirit that looked like me, and she thought it was me. Until something spoke to her. After this, her head was very scrambled, said loudly and angrily, waving his arms as if backing up, "If that's the way it's going to be, just forget it." And it was gone. I asked her later if she meant the head got blurry, and she said no, it was just kind of scrambled like television. She thinks that it tried to choke her in bed years later, but she prayed and it released her. I think that the only problem she had after that was not that particular spirit, but something I brought home from the graveyard one time when she and I were split up. I was lonely and angry and said at my first wife's graves, "Why don't you just come home with me?" I think something did, but I don't know about it until me and my second wife got back together. She'd hear footsteps banging on walls, her bed being kicked every morning, and something saying hi in a female voice and my voice, calling to her when I didn't call. I got madder than usual, than a wet hen, because when they upset my wife, I considered it messing with me. I tried calling them out, saying, "If you got something to say, say it. If you want a fight, fight me. If you want to scare somebody, scare me." It was doing it at my convenience, of course, and then the bedroom was very much off limits. I also tried to get them to leave, going as far as anointing the doors and windows with new olive oil, extra virgin olive oil that was bought and used only for that purpose, and I did this while rebuking out loud. I also went through a ritual where I explained to it or them to get in the car. I even opened the door for them, and I would take you back to the cemetery, in which I drove to the cemetery, opened the door, and I would tell them to get out. Things have quieted down, but I do feel somebody still is looking at me every now and then, and my wife is still scared because of past experiences. I tried to get her to stay up here and face her fears, even to the point of getting her to listen to my voice on the CB radio, talking to my friends while I was a night watchman and she could talk back, but she finally resorted to sleeping at my parents' house some miles away. Anyhow, now it mainly pick on other people who come into the house when we are not home. People who have permission, like a homeless man we know. We let him spend the night alone and don't go to sleep until my wife and I got home in the morning and wouldn't stay another night. My wife's cousin and his wife, who heard a lot of activity, running, door slamming, and his wife. I guess next time I give them permission to come in, I'll think twice.
I wonder how often couples end up having to break up over paranormal stuff. Like, it sounded like there was a time there where he broke up with his second wife for a little while because of that.
Because of the stress?
Yeah.
That it puts on a relationship? Yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes that may be the goal of something like that, is to cause undue stress into a relationship and then, you know, basically cause chaos. Mm-hmm. Whatever damage it can do, it wants to do.
Yeah.
Essentially is what I think. Sometimes it's, its goal or intent is.
Mm-hmm.
So probably more times than is actually realized. I wanted to, there was one other thing I wanted to mention about the Richard and Chattanooga thing that we were talking about a little bit earlier. I saw a clip on YouTube the other day around the time that he was calling into the show, and I don't know if this was him, and I don't know if these two things are related, but there was an individual that was calling into Talking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hardwick.
Mm-hmm.
And claiming to use the name Richard in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it doesn't quite sound like him.
Okay.
But I mean, it's hard. Mic processing and phone processing can make you sound a little deeper or higher, depending mm-hmm. on how it runs. And would say it was like the only prank calls that have gotten through to that show, or so they thought, prank calls. And it was talking about very like end time type things.
Okay.
And then it would go away. And it was just this elusive, weird caller named Richard
mm-hmm.
in Chattanooga.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe it's somebody that's just using that.
Maybe it's somebody using the name.
Yeah.
Because it was around the same point in time. I don't know. It was very, I was like, oh, I've never heard of this before. It was interesting. So anyway, another little piece in the puzzle. So that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at EPP. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories is where you do that. Tickets for the show in Lexington coming up. In just a couple of weeks, get that Real Ghost Stories Online. Click on tour dates to check that out. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.